Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College. Well, Doc, we're right in the middle of a very convicting and encouraging series that we're entitling The Power and Deception of Hidden Sin. Those of you joining us for the broadcast today can get the first two broadcasts in this series on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. We're calling it The Power and Deception of Hidden Sin because we have a story out of the book of Joshua chapter 7 of a man who was with the people of God as a part of the people of God. He listened to the word of God as God gave instructions through Joshua, and he was even involved in the work of God as he went in with the army of God to take the city of Jericho. But Doc, as you pointed out, there was some hidden sin that ended up in the floor of his tent, and it produced some incredibly devastating consequences. And we were talking about the first of those consequences, and that was that the glory of God had been compromised. And I wonder if you could maybe speak to that and then jump right into the rest of the consequences that we want to cover as we look at this story.
Well, I did think it was significant that as Achan had this progression into sin, God had the progression of uncovering sin and gathered the tribes, gathered the families, gathered the men. And the needle pointed at Achan. And Joshua was going man to man. Give God glory for what you've done. Give God glory for what you've done. And when it came to Achan, I can't. Achan answered Joshua, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done.
And we noted that progression of sin in his life. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took and I hid, and they're in my tent underneath the floor of it.
Yeah. And the progression of sin is that way. And there is not a man listening or a woman listening or a child listening, including you and me, who is beyond being in a circumstance where we believe that God doesn't see or God doesn't care, and then we begin to live the life we choose to live rather than say, no, God is holy. I am under a very clear-cut command of God. I cannot do that because I am not an exception to God's command. Achan thought he was.
Right. He convinced himself of that.
Convinced himself. I think he knew better, but I think his emotion became so involved that his whole thinking process was turned aside. Last broadcast, we saw the devastating consequence that God himself was affected, and we see that Joseph was protected because he knew God's presence. We see that David carelessly went, and Nathan the prophet came and reminded David that his sin was against a holy God. The second group affected, not only was God himself affected, saints are affected by hidden sin. No man sins in a vacuum. Romans chapter 14, verse 7, no man lives unto himself, no man dies unto himself. We never sin in a vacuum. There is no such a thing as innocent people not suffering when a person chooses to sin.
And that's one of the biggest deceptions that Satan fools us with. Well, nobody knows, and so it's not hurting anybody.
Yeah, and even if somebody knows, then the people you talk to, well, I'm only hurting myself. No, you are not hurting yourself.
Right.
Those of you dealing with alcoholic loved ones, an alcoholic husband, an alcoholic son, or an alcoholic loved one in the family, you go and, no, I'm just hurting me. No, you're not hurting only you. You're hurting everyone affected by your self-centered living.
36 families in this text were affected by Achan's choice.
Yeah, 36 homes without a dad and without a husband. I mean, think about it. Take the city of Milwaukee. How big news would that be?
Wow.
If 36 men were killed as a judgment.
It would be national news.
National news. They'd be interviewing wives. Well, daddy's not coming home. No, no, daddy's not coming back. And no, daddy was killed. I mean, just think just the 36, which is only the beginning part of that. Saints are affected by that when one suffers, everyone suffers. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, by virtue of how the body of Christ is made up. Thirdly, sinners were affected. Unsaved people are affected when Christians choose to walk in disobedience to God. Sinners expect sinners to sin. Sinners cannot accept saints sinning. When somebody has made a profession and they've identified with the person of Christ, sinners expect sinners to sin. But they cannot accept saints sinning.
Boy, isn't that the truth? When our sins come out and there's this public outcry, and then the people in that community want nothing more to do with the gospel. They want nothing more to do with the church. Hey, I know that church down there. That preacher did whatever. There's a deacon that did this. And boy, I don't even want to. I mean, we really do drive the sinner away from the one place where they can get help when we do this.
So unsaved are affected. Now, what would be some Bible examples? When Nathan confronted David, what was one of the statements he made? 2 Samuel 12:14. David, you have given occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Mm. The sinners were affected by this. Mm-hmm. And when Nathan said, David, it's just this hidden thing you did now has caused the name of Christ to be blasphemed, the name of God to be blasphemed. And Samson, you remember the digression of Samson? Mm. He went down to Timnath, he went down to Gaza, he went down to the harlot.
And it's then, almost like this one. He saw, he coveted.
It's exactly
he
right.
He took.
And then he was deceived into believing. He took what God had given him lightly, and he began toying with temptation. Oh, just braid my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
playing with it.
Yeah, playing with it.
Man, oh, that's just what we do today.
I'll be as weak as any other man. And he stood up, and he carried off the city gates, and he stood up and snapped the cords and the ropes. And then this woman started crying. And then he got closer to the truth, and then he said, truth of the matter is if you cut my hair, because he was consecrated to the God on the Nazarite vow, I'll be as weak as any other man. And then Samson, the enemies are upon you. And he got up, as at other times, wist not the Lord had departed from him and was powerless. What did they do? They bound him and they had him making meal. They put out his eyes. And who did they worship? These unregenerates. Dagon, their God. Mm. And here was this man of God, powerless, grinding food for the enemy. And the enemy's God was worshipped because Samson thought he could disobey God in that matter. And then Satan accuses. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. What does it say? Who is accusing day and night? Accusers of
the brethren.
The brethren. And, that's what your children do.
Hmm.
Oh, that's what they do. And it's interesting to me that when Satan came and God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan, well, said, of course. Look what you've given him.
Yeah.
You let me get to him.
And see how much he'll stay true to you.
See how much he will stay true to you. And so Satan is affected by this. Because he gives opportunity to make accusation against the believer. Even though our sins are under grace, when Christ died on the cross, all my sin past, all my sin present, all my sin future was paid for. It's taken care of. It's done. But yet after that fact, my life actions are either good or worthless. They'll either survive the fire test given in 1 Corinthians 3 or they will be burned up. They'll either be gold, silver, and precious stone, or they will be wood, hay, and stubble. And so the opportunity for Satan to work is great. And when a person chooses to disobey, he walks out from under the protection of God and he becomes open prey.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, deliver that one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, because Satan then can have his way. But I think, and we in our conclusion, the individual himself is affected by hidden sin. It's just not, okay, I hurt mom and dad. Okay, I've marred my testimony. Okay, Satan knows about it. No, it comes down to the fact where he himself was affected. And I think now, Doc, if you could read verses 22 through 26 of Joshua chapter 7.
Yeah, this is the uncovering, punishing, remembering, and ultimately the restoring of God's glory to Israel. Verse 22 says, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them to Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned away from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day.
So what do we see? The consequence of himself. Can you picture Achan now uncovered and Joshua didn't say, well, Achan, be more careful next time.
He didn't get to reset the button.
Family, wife, children taken outside of the city. And can you imagine you being a father watching your two children being stoned because your choice of sin? And what would you be thinking? Oh, what a consequence. I never dreamed it would be this bad. Never dreamed it would be this bad because deception is there. Then the child and say, Daddy, help me. Honey, Daddy can't help. Daddy sinned. Then the wife is laid down, and you see your wife and a boulder's crushing down on that body. And then you yourself have to lay down. The consequences of sin is worse than I ever dreamed it would be. And you see the uncovering there, and they stone them with stones, and they heap the stones over the battered bodies. Some of you may be listening and think, boy, would God do that? God is holy. Thank God we're under grace. But that does not accept the sowing, reaping principle. That doesn't mean that the sowing, reaping principle doesn't come into play.
Right. Because it's given to people under grace.
God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that sows of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What's hidden in our tents? What sin are we tolerating? And because there has not been an immediate consequence, we choose to hang on to because there has not been an instant judgment because of it. It is that sin that is going to tear down the name of God. Saints are going to be affected. Sinners will be affected. Satan will be accusing. And that individual himself will eventually know the consequences of that sin, even though by grace forgiven and is a child of God.
And I hope that as we, Doc, take what you've taught us, that it'll motivate us to fear the Lord properly and to run to the Lord with what we've hidden in our hearts and say to him, Lord, here this is, would you be faithful and just to cleanse me from my unrighteousness?